Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello, I'm Bridie and welcome to the Breast Cancer Care podcast. Today I'm joined by Anita from her home in Sussex. Anita is the author of Be Is for Breast Cancer and will be talking about her experience for speaking to children about a breast cancer diagnosis. Anita, thank you for joining me today. I wonder if you could start by telling me a bit about when you were first diagnosed with breast cancer.
So I was first diagnosed 4 days before Christmas in 2016. A couple of weeks before that, I had been in the bathroom and I discovered a lump in my armpit and had called the GP and seen them. At the time, we all hoped that it was just a cyst and there was nothing to worry about, but I was referred to the breast clinic for an ultrasound. I had blood tests taken, and I was put on the course of antibiotics just in case it was a cyst. I was seen a week later. The lump had gone down slightly, so there clearly was an infection there as well, but my GP could feel how hard the lump was and the size of it. So I had some more blood taken, and by then I had a date for the ultrasound, and it had gone from just being at my local hospital to being at the breast clinic. And then when I got my ultrasound date, I went for that. I was examined by a breast surgeon. They couldn't feel any lumps in my breast. I went down for the ultrasound and had the mammogram as well. And when I had the ultrasound, it was a consultant radiologist who did it, and he had to say, I'm really sorry, Anita, unfortunately there's two lumps in your breast as well as the one under your armpit. So he did a biopsy of all three lumps, and then we waited for the results, and I got the results.
Wow. So how did you feel at the time? Obviously, it sounds like it was a bit of a surprise, but was it sort of quite a shock to you, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our life was difficult enough as it was. My husband had been waiting for a kidney transplant for 6 years, and he was on dialysis daily at home. So our children had grown up with knowing that their dad was seriously ill. Yeah, we just thought, no, this can't be happening. This is impossible. We can't have me seriously ill at the same time. That's not fair. But once we got the results back just before Christmas, I saw the breast surgeon and the breast care nurse, and they confirmed that it was grade 3 locally aggressive breast cancer that had spread to my lymph nodes, and agreed with me on a treatment plan that would be starting with chemotherapy to hopefully shrink the tumours, then hopefully, depending on how well I responded, a wide local excision of the breast and lymph node removal, and then radiotherapy and then hormone therapy.
Yeah. So how did you first approach telling your children? Because obviously you've just got this massive treatment plan. You and your husband are working out how to manage it with his own illness. Was it something that you spoke about quite early on?
Yeah, it was actually, because, my daughter at the time was 10, and she had actually seen me examining my armpit. And so I'd said to her, look, you know, found this lump in my armpit. Hopefully it's nothing. I'm going to go to the GP and maybe have a scan, and we'll tell you what it is when we know. So when we came back just on the 21st of December from the hospital, it had been a really long day because I'd seen the breast surgeon first, and then he managed to get me to see an oncologist as well, and then I'd had an emergency CT. It was a really long day. By the time we got home, the kids had had their tea, and we sat them down on the sofa and said, look, you know, unfortunately, we've got some bad news to share with you. The lump we found, mummy found in her armpit, the doctors have said that it's cancer, and we explained what cancer was to them. They knew a little bit about it already because my dad actually is terminally ill, and he'd been diagnosed the year before. So they knew that cancer is an illness that starts when your cells start dividing, and they know it's something that isn't caused because we did something wrong or they did something wrong, and they know it's not something that they can catch, like you can catch cold. So we went through all of those things again with them, and we said that the big difference between me and their grandpa is that the doctors have said that, you know, it's really treatable, and I'm going to do everything that the doctors tell me to do and take every medication that they tell me to take. And I said, you know, hopefully it's going to be really good this year, but hopefully in a year's time, you know, we'll have come through it, and but we'll always tell you as if and when things change. We reassured them that we would always be honest with them and we wouldn't keep anything from them.
Were their reactions something that you were quite worried about during your treatment? Obviously, you've told them from the beginning and said you'd be quite open, but was that something that was quite difficult to manage when you were going through your treatment?
It was at times. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't cope with chemo very well at all. I didn't really ever have a good week. I know some people do. They say, you know, you feel rotten after for a few days afterwards, and then you sort of pick up just in time for your next cycle. But unfortunately, I never really picked up, and I just got an infections each cycle with my immune system being wrecked. And I ended up having, I was in A&E and in hospital at least once every cycle, having IV antibiotics, and I got sepsis twice. So it was really, really difficult for all of us, but especially for the children, seeing me, you know, sadly used to seeing their dad ill, but seeing me ill as well at the same time was really, really scary, and seeing me having to go backwards and forwards to hospital. And I know my daughter struggled with that. And actually now looking back, our son did too. He was only 4 at the time, so he wasn't actually able to verbalise his fears and worries as much, and he appeared to be coping with it better, whereas our daughter being 10 could get sad or angry or scared and could say, you know, actually this is, I'm really worried, you know, it's not fair that you can't come to whatever you said you were going to come to because you're too ill to come. It's not, you know, she could say all of those things, but as a 4-year-old, he seemed to be coping with it, and now we're finding out actually it wasn't as easy for him as we thought it was. And the reaction's kind of not delayed, but it's still going on. His, how he's dealing with everything that's happened is still affecting both of them, well, affecting all of us, but, you know, it's something that's an ongoing struggle, really.
Yeah. Has he been able to talk about it a bit more now that you're sort of through the worst of your treatment, do you think?
He has. I think he just still feels really, really insecure. You can see now that he just wants to be in control of every little thing. And when there's a situation that's out of his control, he just can't. He finds it difficult because there was so much out of their control and out of our control. At the time, our friends were amazing. Our friends set up a rota to make sure that there was somebody to take them to school and pick them up from school. But, you know, when you're 4 years old and you just started school and you're in reception, you know, not knowing whether, even when they've been told it's going to be somebody else, the fact that it is somebody else other than your mum and dad picking you up from school is really upsetting and scary. And waking up in the morning and finding out that your mum's not here, she's in hospital again, is really tough.
Did their reaction surprise you in any way, would you say?
It did, actually, because I think I can understand it, but neither of them cried, and I kind of had expected them to, but neither of them cried in front of us. And I think at the time when we told them, it was just the shock of it, especially for my daughter, you know, it was just unreal. Now, Simon and I didn't cry when the breast surgeon told us. We both sat there, you know, absolutely gobsmacked, thinking, seriously? Seriously, this can't be happening. So I guess it was the same for them. They were, you know, especially our daughter, she was probably just thinking, no, you know, there must have been a million thoughts going through her head of, how do we cope? How do we cope with mummy and daddy being ill at the same time? How does that work?
Yeah. Do you think your honesty with them has made it easier for them to process?
I think so. I mean, the reason we've been so honest with them about this is that we felt we had to when Simon was ill. He had his first transplant before our daughter was born, but it didn't last as long as we would have liked it to. And by the time she was two, he was back in end-stage renal failure. And there were certain things, there were operations that he had to have and certain things that he could then no longer do with her. And we just thought it's not fair for these changes to be happening in her life at the age of two and us not explain why they were happening. For example, he had to have a fistula made in his arm. The fistula is the access to dialyze. Well, once you've got a fistula, you shouldn't really lift anything heavy. You can't lift your child up anymore. And obviously at two, when you see your friends running into their parents' arms and being scooped up, you kind of start to wonder, well, why can't my daddy do that with me? So we had to explain things like that. And we've always tried to explain it in bits, not overwhelm them with information, but equally tell them what they need to know, tell them, you know, why things are changing and what's going to happen next, as much as we know. You know, the way children learn is by reading. You know, if you're moving house, you've got young children, you will probably buy a book about moving house. You know, if you've got a baby on the way, you'll probably buy a book about a baby joining the family. So we looked for books about kidney disease and its treatment and when Sarah was little, and there was nothing available at all. And so we just had to manage ourselves, telling her what we could. And then beginning of 2016, Simon had to change his mode of dialysis again. And so we looked again for books because our son at the time was just four, to help him understand why, you know, daddy wouldn't be able to do certain things with him that he was used to. And again, there still wasn't any books. So at that point, we started writing and publishing the books ourselves. And it just made so much sense later in the year when, you know, when I was diagnosed and I was we sat down with the breast surgeon and the breast care nurse. And one of the first things after giving me my diagnosis they did was to give me two books for the children. They gave us Mummy's Lump, and the Medikids breast cancer book for Sarah being older. I just thought, yeah, this is what should happen when a family member is diagnosed with a serious illness. You know, you're treating the whole family. It's not just the person that's ill. It's, you know, how it affects everybody in the family, and enabling the family to cope. So I was really grateful for that. Our daughter really clicked with the Medikids book. Our son didn't really engage with Mummy's Lump. We read it to him a couple of times, but he didn't seem to. It's not something that he said, "Oh, can I read that again?" Yeah, we started thinking about, you know, when I was started my treatment, thought, well, you know, how would I write a book about breast cancer? Now that I'm going through it, what would I do? So, as I was having chemo and I had my chemo going through, I used to sit there with a notebook and make notes and jot things down and take photos and started fleshing a story out.
Yeah, which was Beers for Breast Cancer.
Yeah.
So what's the reaction been like to that book and other books in the series? Obviously, you had a crowdfunder last year, which hit its target and has been a good reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, it did. We were amazed, actually, because it hit its target on the same day that Simon came home from hospital after getting a kidney transplant.
Oh, amazing.
So it was just like the most amazing day, because he'd been waiting 8 years and we just didn't think it was going to happen. And he got this call out the blue, and he got the transplant. And not, when we got home that evening, a week after the operation, I got an email from Just Giving saying, "You've reached your..." It was like, "Whoa, we can..." So that was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, by that stage, the story was written, and we'd been working. We'd spoken to my oncologist and asked him whether he would be kind enough to write a short endorsement for the back of the book, and he agreed to do that. So doing that, we had been sending him the manuscript just for him to have a look at, make sure that there's nothing in there that was glaringly wrong, and we changed a couple of things that he sort of highlighted that maybe he wouldn't phrase it like that, or things like that. There's no mistakes as such, but there's things that he talking about the lymph nodes. He said, he describes them as a filter that trap cancer cells. So we thought, oh yeah, that's a good way of describing them. So we put that in. It's been well received. We've given copies to my breast unit and the Sussex Cancer Centre and the Macmillan Horizon Centre, which is down in Brighton as well. So that there's copies there for people to have a look at, and the books, kidney books and the breast cancer book, are all available on Amazon, so people can have a look on there and get them if they would like to.
And how have your children responded to the book? Because I believe the characters are their names, aren't they?
Yeah, so the characters are their middle names. So actually, our son went to school on World Book Day this year as Jack, as himself, and he chose one of the kidney books to get. Yeah, so that was a very proud mummy moment when he chose to do that.
Yeah.
And he's actually in a local paper today with the photos from World Book Day last week, which is really lovely to see, but also because it's World Kidney Day today, so it's really...
Wow, amazing.
It's really tied in nicely.
Yeah, brilliant promotion there, Nathan. Well done. So just as like a final point, obviously, when you have a breast cancer diagnosis, and even if you finish treatment, sometimes it's a bit ongoing, you have to go for checkups, and it's always in the back of your mind. How have you continued to manage your children's reactions to your diagnosis as time's gone on?
So, as I said, we have said to them that we'll always be honest with them, that we're not going to hide anything. There has been, for all of us really, a level of sadness and disappointment, because I developed lymphedema straight after surgery, which I know is a risk of having a lymph node taken out, but I wasn't expecting it to happen within days of having my lymph nodes go. So I have to wear support gave daily, and obviously that's a visual reminder that I've been ill. And so I think my daughter finds that trickier than my son, and my hair hasn't grown back. I know some people get chemo curls and their hair comes back after treatment, but mine hasn't. It's just not growing at all, really, and it's all patchy. So I've got a number one all over now and taking it really short. So again, that's another reminder. And I think for all of us, there are days where you kind of think, oh, I wish it had been the way I thought it was going to be. I wish I had finished treatment and everything was going to be smooth sailing. But life's not like that. We manage it a day at a time. I've had cellulitis last year with my lymphedema, so that was another trip to A&E and having antibiotics, but with things like that, we just we tell them, we say that this is what's happening, this is what we're going to do, this is what the doctor said. Obviously make sure that they know that, you know, they can ask us any questions and they can tell us anything they want to tell us, that we'll always be honest.
Yeah, I think that's the best policy, really, and the best thing that you could do, and you've definitely done that. So thank you so much for sharing your story with me today, Anita. You can read Anita's 5 tips for talking to children about breast cancer on our news and personal stories section of the Breast Cancer Care website. You can find Beards of Breast Cancer and other titles in the series for purchase on Amazon. Subscribe to the Breast Cancer Care podcast channel so that you can stay tuned for the next episode of my story.